In Matthew chapter 8, let's begin reading in verse 5. And it says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.'" Notice how eager Jesus was to help. He's like, "I'll help him right now. Come on, let's go." Isn't that awesome? You know, he's that way in our lives. Sometimes people say, "Well, don't bother the Lord with that." He's ready to help us. His very name, the Holy Spirit in us, is called the Helper. He's constantly on standby to help. That's awesome. "The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.'" That's an amazing statement right there. I mean, imagine that Jesus is saying that about us. Great faith. Two times that we see Jesus is quoted as saying great faith. And it says he marveled. That's not a word I use very often, but it means he was astonished. And I just imagine Jesus going, "Whoa!" And then turning around to his disciples, "Dudes, I'm obviously paraphrasing. Did you hear that?" This impressed him. The message title is Authority and Our Words. Authority and Our Words. And as we were winding up the Redemptive Gift series, I'm always looking on the horizon. Father, where are you taking us? What's next? What's the next thing? And I really had two things. I knew we were going to visit words. I haven't taught on that in some time as its own topic. And then I kept hearing this thing about authority. In fact, in our pastor's meeting on Thursdays, that topic of authority keeps coming up. It comes up a lot. And so to me, it seemed like two things that weren't connected. It'd be like teaching on tithing and healing. You know, let's make a connection there. But then I saw it. I remembered the centurion. And he called it great faith. He said, "You don't have to come to my house. You just say the word." Jesus called that great faith. But the reason was, he says, "I know how this thing works. I'm under authority and I have authority. So because I'm under authority, I can say to this one, go, and he goes. I can say to this one, come. So Lord, I know that you have the authority to do this. If you'll just say the word, it's done. It's handled. You don't have to come." And this marveled Jesus. That's the revelation. They are connected. That's the revelation of this whole series. They're connected. You know, I could teach on just authority and I could teach on just our words, but clearly they're connected if we want great faith. Amen. Now, the word authority is the Greek word exousia, and it means delegated influence and jurisdiction. Jurisdiction, I had to look that up just to give a definition. It's the official power to make legal decisions. And remember, it's delegated. Delegated. So authority is always given. Somebody gives you authority. You'll hear Christians in situations, maybe they have a struggle or whatever, and somebody will say, "Now take authority over it." You already have authority. What they mean is exercise the delegated influence and jurisdiction you already have. It's not like, "Oh, I got to go get some authority from somebody. Somebody give me some authority so I can speak to this mountain." You already have it. You already have authority. I hope that's the revelation you get. You've already been delegated. You are deputized by God Almighty. We're called ambassadors. That's awesome. And just to prove that, in John chapter 1, verse 12, from the traditional King James, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power." That's the word exousia. It's also translated right, power, privilege, but it also means authority to become sons of God. And then in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, talking to the disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me." So that's not just a thought. if it's delegated, that means somebody gave it to you. And because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, he says, now you go. What's he doing? He is giving us authority. Amen. He's giving us his authority to act on his behalf, right? Isn't that awesome? Now go over to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm really just getting this thing introduced today. So we'll talk a lot about the authority part of it, but if your words are going to have power, it's going to be directly proportionate to the authority that you're under. Yeah, I was going to say, some of you napping while you turn the pages. If our words are going to have power, it will be directly proportionate to the authority that you're under. Amen. That's the revelation. That's the most eloquent I've put it. I mean, I've practiced how to say that to get that across, because I've got it here. But some things you have it, yeah, but I don't necessarily have words for it. You know, so I need your faith. I need great faith today. So believe with me, we'll get it said. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, say weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. You know, there may be things in our lives that aren't necessarily sin, but they may be weighing us down. If you're running a marathon, the last thing you want to do is put on ankle weights, unless you're just trying to build up some endurance. If you're trying to win that race, you want to lighten it up. We're getting rid of sin. Sin's certainly a weight. It's its own weight. But there's other things. I had a poor self-image, and that wasn't necessarily sin. I didn't know anything else. But I needed to learn how to lay that aside, and it was the love of God that transformed me in that. Amen? And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Everybody in here has a race. There's a course. There's a plan. There's a direction that is specific for you. It's God's calling on your life, and you are gifted to do it. That's better news than you are shouting, but that's awesome. I mean, that is good news. You're important in this thing, because sometimes I kind of demoted myself in the scheme of the body. My part is as essential as anybody's, and so is yours. Amen? Amen? And we need every part. Then he says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. That's a good idea. No matter what you're going through, keep your eyes on him. That's a word right there. I can't go past that. That's the word. You look unto him. I've seen guys, because the devil's trying stuff, he's doing stuff, and he is beating his chest and roaring. And you know what? He's got no teeth. He can't devour you unless there's permission, which we give him. He's seeking whom he may devour. He can't just overpower you. If he could, he'd already done it. I've had the devil try to whisper to me, I'm going to kill you. And I thought, well, why haven't you done it yet? You know, you're not going to tell me about it. See, he's trying to get me to agree with him. Why? So I'll use my faith against myself. And I've watched guys get in situations, and they're really freaked out by what the devil's doing. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. That stuff will seem so insignificant. I mean, the devil really is smoke and mirrors. If he can't deceive you, then he can't trip you up. Deception wouldn't be so deceiving if it wasn't so deceptive. That's his only weapon, is to try to deceive you and make you think he's got more than he has. It says in Isaiah, we're gonna one day look on him and go, this is the guy? That little fleeb? Really? Causing all the nations? He's insignificant. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, and this is what I want you to see, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What I wanted you to see, he's the author and the finisher. We're talking about authority, right? So what we're looking for is, what does Jesus authorize? Because if we will operate under his authority, then he's authorized it. If he didn't authorize it, he's under no obligation to finish it. Amen. You're on your own. They labor in vain that build the house, unless God builds it, right? Amen. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. So when we're talking about operating under authority, we have to recognize, am I authorized to do certain things? I'm authorized to declare His word of healing over my body, over my family. I'm authorized to declare His word of protection over me, over this church, over families. I'm authorized to do that. And you know what? He'll finish it. Amen. Jesus is pleased when we exercise that authority. Now, we're rolling up on football season, one of my favorite times of year. So if you're not a football fan, just bear with me. It's all right. Let me go here. I'm going to have a party in my head. It's good. It's this time of year. And so we're looking at preseason, and then college season's going to start up. And Jay Singletary, that's Julie's dad, we love watching college football. In fact, we're big. I mean, Thanksgiving Day, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, it's just all day. New Year's Day, all the bowl games. I mean, we're into it. It's awesome. And so as we regularly watch these games, we will tell the coaches what they should do. We are constantly yelling through the TV, throw the ball, or run it up the middle, or put in an extra blocker. We're constantly doing that. I mean, we are experts. If they would do what we told them to do, they'd win every time. It'd be no contest. We would go to high school games. We'd go to Nate's games, and then up in Clarksville, we'd go to Pastor April's son's game. And man, we'd sit up there and we're yelling just like we're at home, yelling at the TV, pass the ball, run it up the middle. I mean, we're just experts. And so that means we have some knowledge about this. Now, the University of Miami is my team, and I've been transformed into a Gator fan, partially because of the family I'm in. But and I didn't think it was possible that you could be both in the same family, but it's true. And actually, the head coach of the University of Miami, I went to high school with him. And he was a big deal. Mark Richt is his name. He was in my IPS science class and my geometry class. And he was the quarterback of the Boca Raton Bobcats at Boca Raton High School. And so he wouldn't remember me because I was just beginning my drug career. And he was the star athlete on campus. And so Mark, he's now the head coach of Miami. He used to coach for Georgia, the Georgia Bulldogs. He was up there for a number of years. And before that, he was the offensive coordinator for FSU under Bobby Bowden. And he actually played for the University of Miami. He came from the Boca Bobcats. His university that he went to was where he's at now, coaching. The unfortunate thing was he played behind Jim Kelly and Bernie Kosar, which if you know, I mean, it's like, good luck getting to play now, right? And then the Dolphins drafted him, and he played behind Dan Marino. Mark who? You know, we don't. But he got to stand next to some incredible coaches. Don Shula being one of them. Howard Schnellenberger being another. I wish Steven was here. He would just be right there with me on this whole thing. But anyway, it would be wrong for Jay and I, we're talking about authority, right, to go down there where they're having their practice or perhaps at a game, to just walk on the field and say, hey, Mark, throw the ball, you know, to just go and start injecting ourselves. What's going to happen? Guys with uniforms and badges are going to take us away. Why? We're not authorized as much as we think we're experts. Now, let me say this. Submission is voluntary. It's always voluntary. If you're in a situation and you're forced to submit, you've not submitted. That's called forced compliance. Yes. Jails are filled with people that are being forced to comply. They wouldn't submit, so now they're being forced. You will take a shower. You will eat or go hungry. Are you with me? Submission is always voluntary. And I want you to know, I kind of struggle with some of this because it may sound a little self-serving, but I want to give you truth because it'll really, really, really help you. So the question to ask is, who am I submitted to? Because really, we're talking about authority, right? So you want to be under a mission. That's what it means, sub under mission. You're under the mission of something. And the Lord should prompt your heart where you're called. as far as a church or any endeavor like that. And so what do? You come under that mission. And to the degree that you're under that mission, you'll have authority to speak on behalf of that mission. Amen. So who am I to submit to? You're there in Ephesians 5. Look at verse 18. It says, "And do not be drunk with wine." That's good advice. "In which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That's awesome, because there is a comparison between intoxication of chemicals versus being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, I've been in those places where I was drunk in the Spirit. When we first got around Pastor Randy Lopshire, we came out of this wonderful meeting. Reggie Scarborough from Lakeland was there, and he had Lynn Hammond, that's Mac Hammond's wife, teaching on prayer. And we got into the prayer time, and I mean, I was so drenched in the presence of God, I could barely talk. I could barely move. And usually when you're in those situations, you leave the meeting and your faculty start coming back, you go, you have lunch, and it's all good. That didn't happen. I got to the macaroni grill where we were eating, and my knee, which can be tricky, I mean, it's just wobbling. I don't have the control that I normally have. And we're sitting in Macaroni Grill, and Pastor Randy's there, and we're with Robert May, and all of a sudden I hear Dean Martin singing, "Ain't that a kick in the head?" I'm just having a good time. Pastor Randy, that's my first impression of him. Or, you know, that's the impression I made on him. It's amazing he's still my friend, right? Like, wow, this guy, whoo. But I mean, I was just saturated in the presence of God. It happens. I didn't mean to teach on that. It's just a side note. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Who's the one another there? Is that horizontal or is it vertical? I would submit to you it's vertical. I don't know that it would bless Rudy if I just came up and started singing, "Blessed Assurance." That's a hymn, right? Or spiritual songs, that's singing in the Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 14, right? And it says, making melody in your heart to the Lord. So what are we doing? We're singing together, but it's to Him, right? Amen? Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here it is. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. I read all of this to give you context. See, this is talking about recognizing the presence of the Holy Spirit in other people, especially within your church family. And so if somebody comes up and they give you a nugget, something the Lord spoke to them, you can submit to that. If you recognize that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit giving me something. That's awesome. So we're to submit to one another, right? Remember, it's voluntary. Nobody's going to make you do it. You guys have heard those prophecies, "Thus saith the Lord," and then they sort of hover over you like, "What are you going to do with that? Get busy." You know, no, you submit it to them, and then they choose to submit to it or not. The King James for verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're asking the question, who are we to submit to? So clearly, we're to submit to other body parts. God can speak to us through other body parts. Amen. And He should be. That's why we need each other. Iron sharpens iron. We hold each other accountable. We encourage each other. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." This is telling us how to lead within the body. And he's talking to elders. And elders, it's not necessarily the age of that person. It's their age in the Lord. How old are you, Pastor Josh? 29. How many of you are older than 29? Okay. Well, but he's an elder in this body, even though you may have more age than him. And I want you to see the difference. So it's, why are they laughing over here? But now I think there is a natural element to that. We shouldn't be disrespectful to people that are older than us.
That's right.
There's an honor that we should exhibit. But this is talking about shepherding in the flock, okay? So eldership, I didn't get born again or recommitted my life when I was 28. There's people a lot younger than me that had been walking this stuff for a long time. I needed to submit to their leadership. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves. Who's doing it? Who's forcing you to submit? It's voluntary. Do you see that? You submit yourself, right? Submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. It is an exercise in humility to submit yourself to your elders and to one another. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. If you get into pride, I remember Pastor Tim Gilligan, he was in his late 20s when we started going to that church, and there were people that would come up, I've got grandkids older than you. And he would say, well, but I'm filled with the Ancient of Days. I thought, what a great comeback. What's age got to do with it, right? And that's the thing with Pastor Josh. He really does conduct himself with the Ancient of Days. For me to ask him, I have to remind myself, he's only in his 20s. I mean, but you would swear he's been doing this a while, right? I mean, he walks like a guy who's got decades under his belt. That's the Ancient of Days. Praise God. Hallelujah. But to not do this is pride. And guess what? Pride is resisted by God. You will meet a headwind in your life. Go over to Hebrews 13. This is the verse I didn't want to read. I didn't write it. I'm just going to read it. Hebrews 13. Here's why I stay clear of this a lot of times. We've seen this abused. And that's the discussion that we have among the pastors. There was a thing back in the 70s called shepherding. Anybody ever heard of that? Some of us, Josh wasn't around yet, but you understand. Anybody else? Okay, well, there's some of us. What was taking place is you couldn't do anything unless the pastor approved it. You would have to ask, can I buy a refrigerator? And then what kind?
And what color?
I mean, it was nuts. That is abuse of power. That's abusive. And because of that, because we've seen it done so demonstratively, you need to submit. I'm the pastor. Do what I say. Well, this isn't the military. It's a family. Are you with me? And so it's been abused. And so you have that extreme, and then you got people on the other extreme. I'm not under anybody. Well, good luck having words with power. Lone Ranger, you know, you're your own thing. No, it's a team thing, and we have to understand this. So when I read this, please hear my heart. I'm not trying to bring people into submission. You submit. I'm not doing that. I don't do that, ever. Ever. Hebrews 13, look at verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Now that's your part, right? You submit yourself. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. That's the fear of God right there. I'm going to answer to God for how I've conducted this. I will answer for it. Let them do so with joy and not grief. And listen, there's times it's like, oh, I got to go have a conversation with so-and-so. Oh, I don't want to do it. Correction's not a bad thing. It's really not a bad thing. You know, immediately their pride is insulted. Listen, if I'm doing something wrong, I want to know so I can get it right. I want to be efficient in something. Amen? For that would be unprofitable for you. In the Amplified, it says your spiritual leaders. So that's really who it's talking about. And you know, when I'm looking for leadership, the first thing I look for is faithfulness. We've had people come with a lot of experience, but I'm looking for faithfulness. And I'll give them something that's somewhat menial to begin with, and let's see how faithful you are with that. Because if you're faithful over little, you're ruler over much. That's the way to get promoted, is you be faithful. The other thing that I look for is, can I correct you? Can I bring correction? If we hit an impasse, the moment I try to bring correction, then I can't use you. I've had people that characterize correction as attack. Like, how dare the pastor get involved? And my job is to see where the guardrails are. Hey, you're out in the woods over here. This is the vision over here. That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. But if that, for some reason, grinds on you or whatever, then you've got some work that the Holy Spirit needs to do. There's some pride issues going on, and you'll meet resistance. I personally am submitted to Pastor Bill McCray. He's been here several times over the years. He serves on our board. Pastor Randy Lopshire, he was here just not too long ago. Pastor Dennis Drake. I have different relationships with each one of them. Pastor Dennis is the guy who will carry me to that block wall in the back and put me up against it and put his finger out and do this. You need that. And he's in proximity of me. He's done it. Maybe not. That's more a metaphor. I mean, he's not physically done that because he's much bigger than I am. But he's taken me to task on a few things and things that I had no idea. And that's because of pride. Pride is blind. You don't see it. So when somebody else has to bring it to you, now you need to humble yourself and ask the question, is there any truth to this? You know, once I got done licking my wounds, you know, it didn't bless me upon initial impact. But there you go. And then I'm also submitted to Pastor Tony Nardello, those of you that were there Friday night. He's the leader of the South Lake Pastors Fellowship. And I have no trouble submitting myself to that leadership. I enjoy that. So there's a bunch of people that I've submitted myself to. I recognize that God has ordained that connection. I recognize his position. I recognize it as a kingdom opportunity. Amen. That with these guys in unity, we actually have a move of God going on. And beyond a move of the Spirit, we can see a great awakening happen. And I'm excited about it. And I believe with all my heart, we will. I want you to go over to Romans 13. Are you getting help today? Yes. Still asking the question, who do I submit myself to? Romans 13, let's begin reading in verse 1. And it says, let every soul be subject, that's another way of saying submitted to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And the question is, who do we submit to? And I needed to ask this question because if you read it on the surface and you just take it literally without the spirit of the thing, you're like, so you're telling me that Saddam Hussein was God's man? Is that what you... No, it can't mean that. See? And in our nation, we have an electoral process. We go to the polls and we vote. It's up to the people. The people decide. See? Because there's people praying, God, put this person in office. Well, that would be voter fraud if he went against what the people decided. That's the way the system's set up. But the ordinance of the authority that's there, the fact that we have a president and all of our public servants that serve, that is ordained by God. Are you with me? A great example of that is King Saul. It was not God's will for the children of Israel to have a king. But they said, we want to be like other nations. We want a king. And so God said, okay, honor their will. There's Saul. You Saul. And Saul, when he started, was anointed. I said he was anointed. Now, it didn't take him long, and he went wackadoodle. Don't mean to get all technical on you and stuff, but he had some problems. I mean, he was trying his best to kill King David. But even King David, even when Saul was all wackadoodle, he's in the cave, And he goes up behind Saul and cuts off a piece of his robe. I think he was probably saying, I could have cut your throat. But what did he do? He repented to him and said, I should not touch God's anointed. That's honor. And when this was being written, Paul's writing this. Do you know who was in charge? Not Caesar. Nero. Nero was about as vile as they get. Nero was, he named himself the chief enemy of God. He thought that he would exterminate Christianity. Nero was bad, really bad. And Peter, in his writings, he said, honor the king. That's who he's talking about, Nero. So, we've not seen persecution in this nation. But I want you to think about it on a little different level. When you're driving your vehicle, let's say through Orlando, how many of you enjoy traffic signals? They seem like a nuisance, right? But think about their place in your life. If you were to extract all the traffic signals from Orlando, and then millions of people are trying to navigate at the same time, what's going to happen? It's a matter of seconds before we lock it up. We won't have order. So that is there so that we can efficiently move from one side of town to the other while somebody is going the opposite direction. It's efficiency. It's there for your benefit. It's there to help you. See, and you might say, well, you're on a road and maybe the speed limit's 55, and then out by my house there's this big curve, and I think it drops down to like 35 or 30, something like that. And you say, I don't agree with that. I'm just gonna take this at 60. Well, okay. You're going to learn about physical laws, like centrifugal force. In the marriage seminar, that guy was talking about, you go around that curve at 80 miles an hour, even if you've got a Christian station on in your car, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. You're going to have some problems. So those things are there to be a blessing. It's to be a benefit to us. So who are we to submit to? We're to submit to one another, submit ourselves to one another, to elders and spiritual leaders, and then civil authorities. Do you want your words to have power? Here's the revelation. I'm going to give it to you. This is the whole thing. Our words will carry God's power to the degree that we are submitted to the authorities that He has placed in our lives. I must needs to say that again. Our words will carry God's power to the degree that we are submitted to the authorities that He's placed in our lives. I mean, I know words are powerful, but I'm talking about God's breath, His wind being in it. Our words are containers of power, but when we're operating under His authority, it has not only our power, the power of our words, but it's got the Creator's power. He's authorized it, and He will finish it. I got help now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In closing, I want you to go over to Matthew 28. Like I said, I'm just getting it introduced to you today. There's something important about being in submission. It is an expression of humility. And when there's humility, God gives grace. Grace is His power, His unmerited favor in our lives. You want favor in your life? We have favor. I mean, we have favors. It's like wherever you're going, things just open up. Opportunity, the resistance gets out of your way. It's amazing. That's the favor of God that's going before you. It's awesome. Matthew 28, look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, exousia, delegated influence and jurisdiction, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Notice it doesn't say go make converts. Leading people to Jesus is a wonderful thing. We need to do that, but that's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is that we make disciples. We don't just get them in the kingdom. We're to grow them. We're to help them become disciplined learners. Think of how close the word disciple and discipline are. That's a word that doesn't get a shout. Be disciplined. baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Because Jesus did what he did as a man, he has got all authority in heaven and on earth, and we've been deputized to act in his behalf. We can say in the name of Jesus, just like if you're a Lake County sheriff deputy, you can say stop in the name of the law and show them your badge. And even though you're in your car, which has a lot more power than their little hand holding the badge, they have all the resources of Lake County and the state of Florida, need, if need be, to stop you. See? That's what authority is. And so we want our words to carry maximum authority. Amen? Did you get anything out of that?